Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, hello, this is Stars Cast, also known as Natalie. Everybody calls me Natalie, so you might as well do the same. But I have with me tonight, of course, my stars, Maya Moon. We have an awesome topic. It's spiritual identity crisis. And her and I were just talking before the show began that I think most people have that happen to them. I mean, I know I have and I've had. And it'll be interesting to see what she has to say about it. I always do my research, but I always regard her as the expert because she seems to know everything. So with that, I'm going to welcome Stars Maya Moon to the show and on the show. And so what do you think? What about this topic here, Maya?
Well, thanks, Natalie. You know how much I love being on the air with you, and we, get to really put it out there and talk about things. And I want to welcome everyone that's listening. We appreciate everyone, those that are new and those that this is their first time. And just a reminder, I know Natalie always does this, but I'm just going to go ahead since I'm thinking about it quickly. You can always go to Star's homepage, and if you look, there is a link you can click on. You can always listen to the show if you missed the show, or this is your first time, or you knew about this topic, but time didn't work out for you. There's several venues of and ways of listening. So I think this is a really important topic because, as Natalie said, we were talking. And the information that I'm going to provide is from my guides. They, anyone that has had a session with me or that's listened to me on air or read at my blogs knows that my information comes through what I term as my guides. Everything metaphysical and spiritual and mystic is subjective, and we should always go with what resonates with us. But that's where the information, it's like I feel like I'm in a classroom and I'm taught, and now it's to the point where rather than having to listen to a two-hour lecture, the information is just flowed into me, and they often will provide a topic. And I believe that this topic, spiritual identity crisis or soul interrupted, is how I see it, is actually a major crisis in the world today. And I think there are some positive things that we can get into later. But, you know, we've heard the term midlife crisis, and we know that or most of us are aware that as young as teens or sometimes preteens and young adults go through somewhat of an identity crisis. Now, that usually for young people, that's more of trying to figure out who they are. They're not really disconnected from their spiritual self. What we're talking about this evening and what my guides feel is almost a universal crisis, if you will, because it's happening collectively to so many people, is a break from our spiritual core energy and center. When that occurs, it affects and influences all aspects of our life. And it is the one thing, I've talked about the pyramid before, and the soul, our soul, our spirit, whatever you want to term that, energy, vibration, whatever, that is the top. That is the highest link, because for one thing, just like a pyramid has that point on the top, that is the highest point. So that connects us to each other, to the divine, source, creator, God, whatever you recognize. and to everyone else. So if there is a disconnect, I mean, it really offsets everything in our life. We can have some emotional crisis. We can have, physical injuries or go through physical issues. And usually we can, like, let's say you break your arm. I mean, you go to the orthopedic doctor, perhaps. Your arm is reset. They put it in a cast. You wait the 6 to 10 weeks. Your arm comes out of a cast. It might be a little weaker, but for the most part, eventually you're going to be back. When we have our soul interrupted and our soul connection interrupted, it can be a devastating and just very profound experience. And a lot of times, because people don't necessarily, the average human isn't daily aware of their spirit as a living, breathing thing. We consider ourselves human, which we are, but we don't stop and think, wow, am I connected to my spirit today? But when that disconnect, when that occurs, often we're unaware, and again, it has ripple effects throughout our life, and it can cause major issues that are very difficult to deal with. So now, Natalie, what did you want to add to that? And I mean, I do have more to say, of course, but.
Of course, yes. Well, I have had it happen to me. We've talked about this before, but I have I have contact with you, so I'm able to work through things. But, of course, everybody knows my husband passed away, and it will be 4 years, so it's about 3.5 years right now. However, I still feel the effects of it. Like, I think I disconnect sometimes. Sometimes, like today, I was just telling her, I was just rolling. I mean, everything was wonderful. It was just a perfect day. But I don't always have perfect days like that. So I'm wondering, Maya, is it perhaps that sometimes I kind of disconnect again? I mean, I know you can't feel really positive and really good, 7 days out of the week. But for the most part, your life should be a challenge for you, but you should feel happy about what you're doing. But for me, I think sometimes I go backwards, actually, and it causes me trouble because I can't, if I could be busy like I was today, nothing would bother me. I mean, nothing. I mean, it would be, we'd be rolling. But it doesn't happen that way because we're humans. And Maya, you think that death was actually causes me to disconnect periodically? I mean, can it be because of the, I'm sure it can be because of the loss of someone or even the breakup of a relationship. We talked about the pyramid where you said that mine was kind of falling all over. Hopefully I'm putting those pieces back slowly. I don't think it happens overnight. I think it takes a really long time for you to get your pyramid back. But could this be my issue? Is that, and I can only relate to myself, but I'm sure this affects a lot of people, that sometimes I kind of go backwards instead of keeping going forward. Is that what happens to me?
Well, probably, yes. Now, what my guides show me is that you brought up a good point, because there's always, we have to look to universal laws as well, and there's cause and effect, of course, is one of the big universal laws and something that we live by both spiritually and human. And so it counter crosses. So something as traumatic as a death or the loss of, I mean, for some people, if their career is where they feel their identity lies, or the breakup of a relationship, those are all, life-shattering, life-changing events. And I don't like to use the term normal, so I'll use the term average or within average. There's an expectation, like, for example, you shared with us that your husband had passed. Well, that's not something that a person would be expected to be able to completely forget and move on and fast forward in 6 months or a year, even 2 years. And although I do believe that we each heal in our own time, there is timing does come into play, and there is a point where we should be able to be moving forward rather than going back. So my belief is that our soul has been interrupted due to a tragedy or traumatic event. It could even be something that occurred in childhood, and we were just, you know, they talk about functioning addicts or functioning alcoholics. We were somehow able to function, but we still were not completely connected. Maybe we had a very thin, the way that I see the connection to spirit is like ties, like a thick, you know, like you could almost barely get your hand around it. That's the way the connection to the spirit or soul should be from the other pieces of the pyramid or the person. But when it becomes this frail, fragile, tiny piece of, like, fishing line, then there's been some type of interruption. And it could be, I mean, I do believe that people can have more than one spiritual crisis, identity crisis in their life. But I believe that the more, what resonates a little bit more with me through my guides is that it was never repaired correctly. So it's kind of like for someone that's maybe had surgery, knee replacement, hip replacement, they had their bones set, and it didn't repair properly, even with surgical intervention, and they've ended up having to have a redo done because the first one didn't take right. That's kind of how I see it. So I would say, like in your situation, that you didn't completely disconnect, so you didn't sever, because we can. It's rarely do we sever from our spirituality, our spiritual, our soul. I don't see that. I feel that that's a very, very rare occurrence that there's no connection. I don't think we can maintain viability without some connection, but it's the amount. So I would say that for a lot of people, there was definitely a catalyst, and that they may have good days or good weeks, good months, but they're still in the process. They still have not gotten to that point where they have fully reconnected. And, you know, I mean, we'll talk more, I'm sure, about things to look for. But some things to look for, we all have different responses and coping skills with things. But when we become, for example, ultra sensitive, and when there enough time has passed that, again, let's say average, or, you know, I don't believe there is normal or abnormal, so I'm trying to articulate this with leaving those words out. But we expect to see a certain amount of progress. Again, if we look at the physical, that's the easiest analogy, I believe. You know, if you break your arm and it's set correctly, you would expect in 3 months that you can use that arm again. If your arm is just as bad a year after it being broke, I'm not talking about something shattered or some type of, you know, crazy fracture. I'm just saying a broken bone. The expectation is that would heal fairly quickly, and after a certain amount of time, if that healing didn't occur, then our physician or, you know, our orthopedic surgeon, our doctor would start to look for there being another cause, because something is not right with that picture. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. And I can only go by what happened to me. And I'm following that pattern. I mean, it was bad in the beginning, and I don't know how, if you're numb, you really just go through the motions. But now I'm finding, and now it's been 3.5 years, I'm finding that the days that I do have, and I mean, I'm not silly on a high, like, you know, I'm just, things are making me feel really good what I'm doing and accomplishing, and I can only base that on stars because that is my daily thing that I take care of. But I noticed today, especially, I even asked Jackie to look at my chart because, and it made sense what she told me. But I think I go back a little bit and then I come forth a little bit. I'm not quite repaired, I guess is the word,
right.
because I'm hoping that down the road, I will end up just remembering all the good things. And because it was not an easy time for me, but I think I'm starting to do that. And the more I fill my days with, like today, I have to use today as an example, things like this, I think the better repair I'm going to have, if you want to look at it like that, because my and I'm very spiritual, and I recognize everything, and I know what's going on with me, and sometimes you try your hardest to snap out of it, but the only thing for me that I can do is work harder at what I love, and that is stars. And I was telling my goddaughter, I just got off the phone with her, about doing what you want to do that makes you happy, and, you know, she said, well, you found what makes you happy, and I said, well, it's part of it. You know, I would like to have a relationship. However, I told her, there's a big however. I really love my stars, and so I would not really want that to step in. So I think I'm repairing. I mean, I think you can tell me that, Maya, that because you know me pretty well. I was like lost. I was like, I would tell you I feel wounded. I'm like, I just couldn't get myself back together. And I'm full of life. I'm very vivacious, but there was something there that wasn't quite right, and it took time. And, you know, sometimes it takes longer for people, I think. But maybe if you recognize what you're going through and you're lucky enough, I'm lucky enough to have you and any stars that I talk to. If I really needed them, I could go to them. But I kind of, you and I kind of have become pretty good friends. Candy is out there. She's in the chat room. Sometimes I don't tell people what I'm going through. But anyways, I think if you have some kind of a support, and like I said, I'm very blessed, but I think you can eventually say to yourself, well, yes, I'm getting through this. This is becoming better for me. I'm seeing happiness. I'm looking forward to doing things where there was a time when it didn't matter what was going on. I was not doing well, but that's part of grief, I think. But, I agree with you there. I think, and it's like losing a job. I lost a job that I loved. It's the same thing. And I was devastated. So there was probably a disconnect for me there. But what took its place was I ended up working with my son, which was just over the top for me. You know, of course, working for my son, not for my son. We owned the business together. That was my replacement. So I didn't suffer. I didn't become disconnected like I could have been because mm-hmm. I had something else. I had my son who I love and adore, and it was wonderful working with him, so I didn't even look back. Sometimes I still have regrets about it, but it didn't make me fall apart. So I think a lot of people have jobs that they're like, they're devastated. They sink into themselves, they stay home, they look for jobs, and they don't really give of themselves because they're not at that level where they can show what they are really about and lift their vibration. And I have to go back to my goddaughter. I was telling her about her vibration. She's so high right now, so high. She's doing so well. She's got dreams, and she's accomplishing them. And but I think everybody has to find kind of like a mentor, somebody that really understands and really loves you and cares for you, that they will talk to you, and her mother is another one that I talk to every other day. So you see, I'm surrounded by wonderful people, but it's difficult for a lot of people, isn't it, Maya, to kind of like, you know, put themselves back together, kind of, and start moving forth and being happy and looking forward to maybe applying for a different kind of job and different kind of, you know, a field, maybe not in the field that you were in before. Sometimes, and that happened to me. I was lucky in that instance, and I've never been without a job that I didn't have a job that I didn't like. Isn't that something? A lot of people hate their work. I mean, but I have been very, very lucky. So I think you're right on the money with all that. I love the pyramid when we were talking about that, how these pieces like fall. They just are falling around you. But you have to find a way to start to put them back together. And you can't start at the top because there has to be something holding the foundation. So you have to start at that bottom, correct?
Correct. You do. You do.
It's
you
just like anything else. I mean,
bottom.
Because that one at the top is going
to
fall. You have to keep building all the way up, building slow. You're going to lose a few pieces, I think. you're going to fall again. But today has been one of the best days that I can say I've had in a long, long time. I mean, the whole day. The whole day. And I'm grateful, and hopefully I can carry it on tomorrow. I know I can because I have lots to do tomorrow. So part of my thing is I have to stay busy. But I have to stay busy doing what I love. And the challenges, dealing with clients, dealing with staff, if they have any needs or whatever, I love that. I just love it. I thrive on it. So I'm lucky I found something that maybe it picks me up. I think it helps me, come on. I always use the term, and I shouldn't because I say drag me to hell. That was a movie, but I always say that to myself. Okay, come on, just drag me along. Come on, I got to do this. But it becomes easier and easier. You just have to, be, I guess, fortunate like me to have something that you really love to do, and it'll carry you through even the bad times. So with that, I'm going to give it back to you, Maya.
Well, I think those are great points, and you know, of course, I'm glad as your friend that you had such a great day, and those are very important to us in all ways. And you know, I mean, I believe that there is a difference too between in the world that we live in. We live in a very challenging world, especially now. There's just a lot of trials and tribulations that we're faced with. And, you know, the what they call mores, society's mores, those are all the unspoken laws, the ones that, you know, and this is going to sound vulgar, but, I mean, an example of a social more would be we don't have to be told generally as adults you don't pick your nose at the restaurant. I mean, if you have an issue, you go to the restroom. So, but what's happening in our society, and part of it is positive, is that we're becoming more accepting and open of a variety of the belief that we're all free to choose our own path, and that covers a great, you know, a great deal of venues, opportunities, potential. But it also can create some chaos, especially for those that were raised with, you know, very strong or very well-defined principles and morals, and they're suddenly cast into this world where now there is no, you know, there is no line. And so I believe there is a difference between the natural process we go through when we grieve over the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job or a career. Like I can remember when, I believe it was Circuit City closed down, and there were thousands of people that were laid off. I mean, literally thousands that had
worked. Oh, yeah, all across the United States, yes.
I mean, that was devastating. I mean, the families, I know I had years ago looked at the data on the amount of families that their homes were being foreclosed, which the government stepped in. But so there's a difference between what we would expect to be a natural process. And let's take the end of a relationship, and it's not our choice. One of the ways that we can, you know, kind of evaluate where we are, if our soul has been interrupted in its journey and we're experiencing a true spiritual identity crisis versus just a block or stumbling on our way, is, you know, partly how we feel. And time does come into play to a point. Time is different to everyone. But if you're still mourning, let's set death aside, because death is a little bit more, it's permanent. But when the difference between the more natural flow, let's put it that way, the more natural flow of the up and down, the chaos and being out of balance due to something happening that's external or internal, is that even in the darkest of the hour, there's still pieces of us that are able to retain hope and a feeling of connection to ourself, our higher, whatever we recognize to be higher source, creator, and to other people. And one of the terms that my guides use that clients often resonate with is when they begin to feel like a fish in a fish tank, and that they're there alone in this tiny tank, swimming in circles, and they're watching the world go by, and they feel completely disconnected from the world. When that starts to occur, and if you're listening and you're seeing yourself or you're feeling yourself, then journaling and talking, like Natalie pointed out, having a good support system, of course, is, I mean, that's just priceless, really. And talking about it, a lot of people are afraid. First of all, a lot of people don't recognize it to be a spiritual crisis. So they may seek out emotional help through more traditional therapies, which is fine because that can actually be beneficial. But they may not know how to word or explain and, you know, process it as a spiritual identity crisis. But when we're truly hit a spiritual identity crisis, okay, so I know I might be jumping around a little bit, but I get this information that starts flowing and I'm trying to keep up, and of course I never can. But we expect a young person anywhere from 17 to, say, 22 or 23 to stumble through life a little bit. Maybe they work odd jobs. Maybe they take a few college classes. That's not to say that every young person goes through that, but that's more of an expected, and it more has to do with identity and finding themselves and what makes them tick, and like you said, what makes them happy, what brings them joy. When we have a true spiritual identity crisis, pretty much everything stops. And one, you know, some of the things that are lacking are a complete inability to see beyond what was. It's like reliving that moment of that crisis and continuing over and over and over to try to find the answer or to adjust. Like that would be someone, and I'm not saying that spell work, I personally don't believe in it, but I'm not suggesting that other people shouldn't or that people are not maybe capable of, you know, doing certain things. I don't believe we can manipulate another person's free will. I'm going to state that clearly, that I don't think any human being, I don't care how gifted they are, can do that. But when we're so desperate that we are unable to see beyond anything but whatever the catalyst was. So someone that's, let's say, the relationship has ended and it's been 4 years or 6 years or 7 years, and they're no more whole, they have no more faith or hope or happiness. And the other thing is the balance in our lives. When we look at the balance in our lives, again, when we're going through a crisis, whether that's a relationship breakup or we've lost a job or, you know, a spouse or a good friend has been injured or something like that, I mean, it's expected that we are going to have some struggles and some setbacks to deal with that. But when our life completely comes to a standstill and there's no spirituality, we feel, you know, as I said, a couple different ways we can go with that. One is we become extremely frail, fragile, and ultra sensitive to the point where other people may begin to back away from us, and that only multiplies or compounds the original spiritual crisis, because we need people, as you pointed out, we need people. So, but we're turning people off because we've lost that connection. So it's almost like an emptiness that, or I should say it's a neediness. Then we have the emptiness. And that can go hand in hand with depression. Now, depression can be a medical condition, and it needs to be treated by a medical professional. So don't confuse medical-induced depression with what is caused by a spiritual identity crisis. So when there's really no explanation and the depression is not doesn't respond to medication, or it's a different feeling, feelings of emptiness, of despair, oftentimes we become quite obsessive in our thinking about that particular, let's say the people from Circuit City, I think that dates back about 5 years. Okay, even if that person was not able to replace that job with the exact money or the exact title or the exact duties, we would expect that 5 years from that point, from a career, that they would be able to find something that, you know, relit that fuse. And as you said, they say they find something that sparks them, they become interested in life. Or, you know, we become reclusive. We don't want to be around people. We sometimes feel different. We feel completely alone and isolated. So there's a lot of different, anxiety comes into play too. A lot of different things. So a lot of it is about balancing. If you are dealing with a crisis situation, or you're recovering or healing from a crisis situation or a spiritual identity crisis, you should be, as time moves forward, you should also be moving forward. So that means there's more happy days than sad or bad days, and that you start to be able to notice small things. Maybe, you know, it's autumn here where I live in Arkansas, so you're able to have some admiration, or you're able to look at the colors of the trees and say, you know, oh, how lovely, how beautiful. There's pleasure. Our pleasure center, when we have a spiritual identity crisis, we have, again, I don't mean literally, because we never can be disconnected, body from spirit, until we do leave this earth. But we feel disconnected, and that disconnection, that crisis, that spiritual identity crisis, it robs us of any or most bits of happiness. We're just not able. Another thing would be if you find yourself, when you do, let's say, turn to friends and family for support, after a while they start to say things like, you know, well, what's wrong with you? You know, it's you know, you need to get over it. Now, sometimes people can be, as humans, which we usually lead, unfortunately, that's just the way of life, usually our ego, which is just our human consciousness, we lead with that. So we can often be insensitive. We don't know what it's like to feel another person's pain, whether it's career loss or whatever. But when we notice that there's a change externally to the way people are reacting to us, or people say, you know, I'm really concerned about you, those are all, in my way of looking at this, those are red flags to that possibly you are in the midst of a spiritual crisis. And until you reconnect with your spirit, you're not going to be able to see joy, feel the potential of the future at all. I mean, and that's a huge sign. When someone comes to me and no matter what, they're completely unable to, they can be numb except for that, the negative parts of the experience or the catalyst or the event or what experience or whatever, that's a red flag that they're probably having a spiritual identity crisis, or, you know, saying such and such interrupted is a little bit of a cliche saying right now, but it really shouldn't be, because soul interrupted is a devastating occurrence, and it can happen to the most well-adjusted and most well-balanced spiritual, metaphysical person, and it can happen to the best of the best. You can be the most generous, loving, giving person, or you could be the opposite. You could be, wealthy and successful, and people would look at you walking by or your name on the top of a 10-story building and think, oh, that person's got it made. But yet that person inside is completely disconnected from their spiritual self. So those are kind of things that I feel portray what's going on and the difference between rebounding, going through the, as they say, grief has 5 stages, and really so does anything that causes us to stop in our tracks. It's all a step-by-step process. But if we get locked in and we're unable to see or feel anything, and feelings come into play a lot because our spiritual being, I believe, carries a lot of our emotions and feelings, and it certainly carries our hope and faith. Even if our hope is just very, very small, where there's hope, there's hope. And when hope becomes totally non-existent and a person continues to be unable to see any hope of the future in any way, shape, or form, they are in the midst of a spiritual identity crisis. And the danger, if you will, in that is that the longer that goes on, the deeper it becomes and the harder it becomes to pull ourselves back. So we have to, like you said, keeping busy. You mentioned several things that help you personally. Sometimes we have to identify with what before the event, what was something that was fun, whether it was sports or it was socializing or it was knitting or crochet or, it really doesn't matter, painting, sculpting, singing, playing, whatever. We have to go back to that point, and we may even have to force ourselves back into those activities, because oftentimes if we force ourselves and we push ourselves to do what we don't feel like doing, the feeling comes back. And with humans, our tendency is to believe that, well, when I feel it, I'll do it. But actually, from the spiritual perspective, it's do it and then you will feel it. So
that
I'll turn
sense.
It over to you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, the soul interrupted, that sounds pretty serious. Interrupted.
It is.
I mean, what's an example of that? I mean, that, to me, that just sounds like, oh, my gosh. You don't even know what spirit means. You don't know what spiritual. What does that mean? I mean, how? You know what I'm saying? That just sounds so serious.
Well, it's just basically a way of another term for a spiritual identity crisis. Soul interrupted means that there's been a major. Okay, if you have a power storm, and it's the thunder or the lightning was so powerful that it struck a line and, there's 5 blocks and rows of houses without power, we would consider that a major event. So soul interrupted means that whatever event, or sometimes it's a series of events, for some people it can be a multitude of things that happen in, a fast time frame that they were never able to rebound from the first one, and so each one set them back further and further. So our soul has become interrupted, and we're no longer, like I said before, the rope should be thick. The tie between the spirit and the human should be thick and should be strong and sturdy and should be something that we're always aware of and we're able to pull on. I mean, it should almost be palatable, whereas soul interrupted is when our soul's journey, because of something that's occurred within the human life that's always absorbed by a spiritual energy core and being has had such a profound effect that it's interrupted that connection, and it's like the power lines are down. And so if you can imagine, I mean, many of us have experienced, I think probably everyone has experienced some type of power outage, and usually it's really short. But imagine having a power outage that didn't go away, that didn't get fixed in a day or 2 days or a week. Imagine trying to live and then take that ideology and place it upon your spiritual being. So if you have a power outage, well, you can't shower and you can't cook. I mean, yes, you can be creative and there's some things you can do, but all these things that you've come to depend on that are a part of your life are no longer, there's no lights. You're fumbling around in the dark, and you start to become, it starts to change the way that we see the world and ourselves and our connection. And so that soul, when our soul becomes interrupted due to an experience or experiences, yes, it is a tragic, and it can be devastating because it can lead people down paths that they would have never imagined prior to whatever the catalyst might be. They would never have imagined. So, yeah, I feel that it's one of the most serious occurrences or breaks in the energy or the connection, because it affects our connection to ourselves spiritually, to whatever we recognize as the divine or universal, and then to what we have. Even if we're not aware and we don't think of ourselves as a big brotherhood, our spirits are all interconnected. And we have, it's like a secret club, if you will. And we have this hierarchy. Well, hierarchy is really not the correct term, so cross that out. But we have this inner circle and this universal spiritual language that we kind of transfer energy back and forth. We're no longer able to do that. So it's almost as if a person were to, let's say, they have a heart attack and they're pronounced dead, and then they're shocked back to life. Only when they come back to life, their soul doesn't come with them. They have no soul. It's almost that. Now imagine then, if you will, imagine a human being walking around without a soul. I mean, you can't be in balance, you can't be happy, and you can literally be actually a threat.
You could turn into a monster. Because a soul, I think it gives you, there's a balance there of right and wrong. I think it helps. And if you don't have that, it's almost like I would picture somebody who was just so wonderful, and then something happens to them, like you said, either a major catastrophe of some sort, and all of a sudden they turn into something totally different. They're like on this path of destruction. Like they're just not like they were before. Is that kind of a soul interrupted? But you can reconnect, correct?
Yeah, I believe it is. Or, like, would you believe that, where would you place, like, let's take some of these, like, for instance, like Jeffrey Dahmer type people. I mean, they were so far off in the things that they did. I mean, I think they've noted that there might be one or two very small, very, very, and that's even questionable, tribes that accept cannibalism. And that, by the way, is not just social mores, but I mean, that is something that was considered, there's a few things that are considered universally, which just means that all cultures, religions, societies, beliefs, yada, yada, all believe in some things as being against the greater good. And cannibalism is definitely one thing that is just way off the charts. So a person like that, it makes you wonder, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, they have a term for that, a sociopath.
Right.
I have a different term. I'm not saying that that person...
I mean, was Dahmer, we'll use him as an example, was he ever a sweet little boy? Or was he a total monster to begin with?
Well, I've read a lot, and I've watched the movies because I'm fascinated with the idea of is it emotional, is it genetic, or is it spiritual? And from everything that I've read that resonates, that my guides believe to be true, he had a pretty normal childhood. There was nothing in his early years, nothing with his parents to indicate that he was going to take this dark path. It wasn't, I mean, I know we hear a lot of horror stories and we have, you know, we have genetic predispositions for certain things. So that does exist, but he is one where there just really wasn't anything significant enough that one would be able to, and this is just the way that I feel and what my guides are supportive of. So what I feel happened is in some way, how or why, I don't know, but his soul became interrupted and his string, his tie, yep, his connection became almost non-existent. It was so thin that
and frayed.
It just...
Yep. That's what I think,
exactly,
too.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, and I'm sure that his childhood started off like every other person's childhood as a baby and a toddler. But we, unless something major happened to him in his life that really made an effect on him. I mean, that would be like a mother dying or mother and father dying at the same time or something major. But I don't think that happened in his life, did it?
No, not really. Nothing. I mean, and that can be subjective because
right,
you can take two siblings and they can come from, let's say, violent, very, very negative, challenging childhood. In fact, I have a private client, and I'm not using her name, and so I'm not betraying any personal information, which I never would, by the way, to any listeners. But she came from a very difficult childhood, and she has a brother, and they grew up pretty much the same, a couple years age difference. Now, she was able to, she did struggle, and she did need some guidance, and I was a spiritual advisor and mentor, guided her and helped her spiritually reconnect. But she is now happily married, has a child, has had a great career for probably 10 years now. And yet her brother went down the dark path. Let's just call it the dark path. And by dark, I don't mean evil. I guess I kind of do, but I don't mean it satanically evil. I just mean dark as in, you know, when there's no spiritual connection, there's no empathy or sympathy or care and concern for other beings, for animals or people. So for a person to be able to do such atrocities and commit such atrocities, I mean, we can as humans do things in a fit of anger that we truly regret. And that's another very telling sign, too, is if you feel regret and remorse, if you have gotten off course and your soul has been interrupted and that has led you to a path of despair and just going down the wrong road, as they say. But if you are still, your feelings deep down, you know, you cried about it or you felt remorse or you felt regret or atoned for the things or tried to atone, that tells me that your soul is connected and that can be salvaged. Those people that have absolutely no ability, I don't even know if I can word it right, but I mean, they just, it just doesn't faze them. That person has, their soul has been interrupted. And I don't think it necessarily, the same experience like your, the death of your husband could happen to 10 other people. They could go through pretty much, let's say, the exact same path, and each of those 10 people would have a different outcome, some more positive, some not nearly as positive. So everything is somewhat subjective. But one thing, you know, we should be able to recognize is if we have a connection to our soul, we have some care, concern for other people at to some level. And when that becomes shut off and shut down, including ourselves, then we're, our soul has been interrupted. And until we start the journey back to our soul and reconnecting and repairing that, we are not going, there is, it's just impossible for us to have hope or faith or sympathy or even caring for ourselves. So, I mean, it sounds like you have, you may not have completely.
I don't think I had mine interrupted at all. I think it had some flaws. You know, I can
well,
still
not,
have.
Not interrupted, not, I think it may have been interrupted, but not into a, into the darkness. It was more, what I would feel about it is that your soul was interrupted, but the only person that was suffering was you. You were not causing harm to anyone else.
Exactly.
You did not, you didn't go without a conscience. I mean, if anything,
but how do you
I would
reconnect. How does one, how did I reconnect? I mean, I think I am much better than I was like a year ago, maybe even a few months ago. But how does one reconnect? I don't even know. I think it was my faith. I just have an awful lot of faith, and I saw things that happened to me, taking care of my husband, and even personally to myself many years ago. So I had seen with my eyes, and I think that helped me from what I experienced when I was a lot younger. You know, not really a near-death experience, but I was pretty sick. And, you know, we talked about the big, huge crystal. I think by seeing something like that, when it came to the point when my husband passed away, because I really think that I walked around, I was like in kind of in shock, because I never really got, you would have thought I would have got hysterical, and so I did not. But when I was at an age, I lost my parents less than 5 months apart. So I had already experienced that. But I was able to, and I didn't really cry for them either. And you and I have talked about that. But I'm probably the gentlest person you could be around. And but I just have such faith. And I think my faith was always there. I think I always believed. But I had seen things with my eyes, so I know it exists. I know, and some people say, well, you have to prove it to me. I want you to prove it to me. Well, I can't prove it to you. I mean, I just know inside that if I reach out and reach up, I'm going to get help. I'm going to be shown the way, and maybe it's the strength in my vibration. Maybe it's my vibration. It's the way I am, you know. But I think I was very fortunate. Very fortunate. But somehow, I guess I reconnected it and started twining that rope together again. You know, she's dangling there, but we're not going to let her dangle too long. See, I always feel that you get help from above, and because I just look to my God. I believe in God that can do anything, and I'll talk to him and I'll say, okay, you gave me this, now what do I do with it? Okay. You know, I just like opening doors, like for stars. I always come back to stars, but I can only do so much. I have to have the doors kind of open a little bit for me or appear so that I can turn the knob or turn the handle and walk through and say, oh, yes, this is for us, which I had a great chance last week, and yes, I'm going to do it. I already decided. But anyways, I think I was just fortunate. Some people are not that lucky, and I was an only child. Can you imagine losing your parents that quick? And I was an only child. But I had a son who was 13. I had my husband. And I think I diverted all my attention to them. I don't know, but I talked to my son about it. I said, you realize I never really cried. I can cry more now than I did before, you know, Maya? I think some of it was shock. Maybe I was kind of in shock, I guess. I don't know. But I really feel that it's got to be difficult for a lot of people who do not get the proper help or do not ask for it. And sometimes it's not a therapist. Sometimes it's got to be somebody who is like you. I am surrounded by spiritual people. So to me, like you, is the one that I go to. Okay, why am I like this, Maya? What's wrong with me? What's going on with me? If I want something astrological, I go to Jackie or Eileen. Okay, what's in my chart? Well, my chart is flying off the charts right now. I mean, everything is coming to fruition for me at this point in my life, so it's really good for stars. But some people just don't. I mean, I keep saying I'm very, very blessed, and I wish everybody could find somebody in their life that, like the Mayas, that they could go to that know enough. And sometimes it's not a therapist because sometimes they're just not spiritual. You know what I'm saying? If I went to a therapist, they would not understand me. They'd say, where is she coming from? Because they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't know. They are book smart. They are not common sense smart or spiritual smart. They're not. They just don't have it. But it's got to be really tough on people that disconnect like that or interrupt it. Oh, my goodness, that's tough.
It is. And I'm you know, I walked away from the traditional psychological field because of my spiritual awareness and because I felt that was my true calling and believe me, there's been many times that I've recommended traditional counseling. So I'm in no way suggesting that that's not necessary or that's not the appropriate line of defense for some people, depending on the situation. However, I completely agree, and I've had clients tell me that a few sessions with me did them a lot more good than 5 years with a therapist because they do tend to go off of textbooks, and although you can find some that are, you know, they might be of a certain religious background if you're a religious person, I don't believe, and if you've ever worked for the state, extremely stringent in the laws and what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. So it's like trying to work. For me, it was just an impossible situation. I couldn't be myself. And I feel that the spirit can only be healed or mended by someone that understands fully the spiritual being in the core of ourselves being our spirit and who can help us find our way back. And so, you know, before you go down that dark road, absolutely you should reach out. And a lot of times we have to force ourselves, even though you had a key point too that I wanted to say, and that is you said, you know, people say, you said about faith. You have faith, and people say, prove it to me. Well, if you look, the very definition of faith is believing in what has yet to be proven. So faith is an idea. It's embracing the possibility. And that is one of the key factors. I cannot stress that enough. That's absolutely essential in rebuilding and reuniting and reconnecting if you are in the midst of a spiritual identity crisis. You absolutely have to have faith. And I don't mean that in the religious sense. I mean that in the sense of self and the potential or the possibility of tomorrow being different. And sometimes we have to literally force ourselves out the door or to engage in something, even though, you know, it's a lot easier to just stay locked up, but you'll never reconnect. The only way to reconnect is really, I mean, through the energy, or I also recommend for those that, you know, have the ability to care for and don't suffer from allergies, I always recommend a pet. Pets, their vibration is one of the highest vibrations, and they speak a universal language, and just the presence of being around animals. And, I mean, there's some, like, I don't necessarily feel that, like, reptiles have the same vibration as horses, birds, cats, dogs. You know, I mean, there's just certain ones that aren't going to offer that. But your more traditional pets, even guinea pigs, have tons of personality, and they can resonate and vibrate and send out, just like if you think of it as crystals, all crystals and gemstones are living, according to my book of laws, if you will. So that's another way. But recognizing it is the first step. Recognizing that something isn't right with this picture, recognizing that, you know, what I'm feeling is and the life that I'm living is lacking to the extreme, and there should have been a change by now. Everyone, you know, we all go through our processes, good, bad, and in between, in different levels and stages. Just like some toddlers walk at a year, some are 15 months. Yes, of course, it's subjective. But when it becomes overpowering to the point where we're locked into that event, or not so much that event, but the feelings or lack of feelings that developed after that event or series of events, and we're not able to get past to what I would call the state of grace or universal understanding, then we need to really note that we're probably either headed for or in the midst of a spiritual identity crisis. And if we don't get help and reach out, and sometimes just talking about it and identifying how you're feeling and getting some professional help in how to, like you said, you know, tie that, knit that rope back together and get that twine stronger, that's when your soul can become, you know, interrupted. And when your soul becomes interrupted, then it makes you very vulnerable to all the negative things in life. And they start to pile up because we have, you know, our life is joyless and often meaningless. So they're, like I would say, a lot of suicide victims, that's the cause. They may have had some emotional problems, but the actual underlying cause was their soul became so interrupted and they became so disconnected that there was just nothing left.
Right. I found with myself, and my son reminded me of this, you know, my friends, my one friend, well, both of them would invite me to go someplace. Do you know, I would say, oh, yeah, okay, what time, what day, you know. And then a part of me would say, oh, I really don't want to go. I would rather stay home. But my son said something interesting to me. He said, if you don't go, they're going to stop asking. And he said, so this was a long time ago. He said, so I want you, Mom, to every time, you know, your two girlfriends, sometimes we're all together, sometimes I go with each one, when they ask you to do something, if you can't possibly do it, okay. But he said, I really want you to say yes. And I made a habit of doing that. Even some things that didn't, oh, God, I don't really want to do this, you know, but I'm going to go anyways. I would, like my one friend would drive 90 miles away or halfway to get her granddaughter, and I didn't want to see her go by herself, so I would go with her, even though in the beginning I didn't want to go. And the more I did that, the more I did it. I always say to people, the more you do, the more you do. And that's true. That's what I did. I was sitting there listening to you, and that's exactly what I did. I forced myself to go because my friend really needed the company, and then I thought about what my son said. They're going to stop asking you. Then what are you going to do? Because they know you're going to say no. So it's rare that I say no. I go. I just I make myself, even if it's early, like earlier than I, you know, sometimes I dawdle around and I'm drinking my coffee and playing with my cat and, you know, I don't get up and out like I should already. But if I have to do it, like Wednesday, I'm going to the show again, and the show starts at 10:30 in the morning. So I have to be ready to go by 10 o'clock. So it's a forced thing, but I'm looking forward to it. So eventually it becomes a happy thing. You're not forcing yourself to do it. But the more you do, the more you do. And that's the truth. You have to. You just must. That's it. You just must do it. Just drag yourself out and do it.
And that, I mean, that's what I would close with, is that if you've resonated or you found pieces of yourself in this topic, in this conversation, that's one of the most important steps that you can take, and that is to try to remember this, that we have to take the action before we're going to feel it. So just like Natalie shared with us, that it would have been easier for her in many ways back then to say, no, you know, I think I'm just going to stay here and sit here. Isolation only breeds more disconnect. We have to force ourselves to get out and do things. And if we do that, if we are proactive and we force ourselves, eventually, the more we connect with other people, we connect with ourselves. And it's an automatic exchange of energy which rebuilds our soul and takes us out of that identity crisis and brings us back to full power, if you will. And a day will come when we'll no longer have to push or force ourselves. We will.
Like I'm at that point right now. I mean, somebody will say, oh, hey, want to go here? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll go. I don't even think about it anymore because I know it's so healthy for me to do that. And I do it. And that's what I, like you said, in closing, that's what I would like to see those of you who are having issues, you know, you have to have your faith. There is always hope. Always. I mean, I have been in the pits of, like, the darkest well you can imagine. And I again, was fortunate. I had something that I was building. I was working on making stars. And with Tony, I speak of Tony all the time, my webmaster. And sometimes I can call him and I'll say, Tony, I need something to do. Okay, well, you want to learn how to do this? Yep, I do. Okay, and I'll learn some code. I'll learn something. And you just... You have to surround yourself with people that you know care about you and reach out to them. Maybe they don't even know that you're suffering and you're having issues. I let all my friends know. And sometimes I'd sit in the car and I'd say, well, I'm not really in a good space right now, but I think it's going to be okay. And pretty soon I forgot about it. I mean, we're talking about this and that and all of that, but you see, I would warn them ahead of time, you know, you're not doing too well today. No, not really, but I'll be okay. And then I forgot about it, but it was getting out and about and being with people that you love. I mean, and hopefully all of you out there have people around you that you can reach out to. And I say, I wish I was your friend because I could really help you because I've been there. Trust me, I've been there. I know what it's like, and it's not fun, and it changes you drastically. You just don't give up. Just do not give up. That's the biggest thing. And I told you, Maya, I was going to love this topic because I could really identify with it. And you're so brilliant when you speak. And I have to thank you, of course. And you know how much I love you. And I can talk to you at any time. We talk. We write every day. And, of course, Candy's in the room. And bless her heart, she does such a great job on all the promoting. And, you know, like I said before, I just tell her, work your magic. Get those magic fingers going. And she blasts it out everywhere. You know, I love Twitter. She said, and we don't spam, right? We don't. No, we don't do that. And I like Twitter, so sometimes I'll do a little extra there. But I really think that you have to belong to something. And all of us that are in stars belong. That's why I made it a family atmosphere. Any one of them can say, Natalie, I need some help. Who can I go to? Or give me some help. What can you do? What can you tell me? I have it all the time. Please call me because I'm having a tough time. Sometimes it's just my voice because they know that I'm going to pull them out of it, maybe only temporarily, but I'm certainly going to try. So with that, we went over, but I extended the program because I knew this was going to go over anyhow, and that's just fine. But we'll be back again next week. And I guess, did you say your goodbye, Maya?
I think so. I just wish everyone, you know, not to give up, like Natalie said, and love you back, Natalie. And I'm sure we'll have, well, I already know we have a great topic again for next week. So don't miss it. Be sure to set your clocks and tune in.
Yes, yes. Don't forget, be with us and call in if you have questions on the subject, like tonight would have been, if you had some issues going on in your life. Everything is recorded. You can always listen to it if you miss it, not to worry. You say, oh, gosh, I missed the show. Because we do have a lot of people that listen to it after or, like, days later. You know, they'll go back, like, 3 or 4 days because they just couldn't listen, you know, live. But that's okay. They're all sitting there. And thanks again to Candy. Candy knows how much I love her. And she does so much for Stars. And Maya does so much. She writes for the blog every single day. We have numerology now, Monday through Friday. We have Stars Aeneas that does a tarot reading. We have Stars Celestial that does the astro reading on Mondays. It was a big blog today. Please check out the blog. It's really, really good. I promote it. It gets promoted automatically. And it's just lots of good things happening. Just surround yourself with stars, you know. Just think of yourself that you are stars, too, with us. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. I love everybody. Love you, Candy. Thank you again. Thank you, Maya. And we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Bye-bye.
Bye.